Hey everyone, Jared Sebesta here, host of Repurposed. Here's your podcast. I hope you enjoy.
I just started asking God, what do you want me to do with this story? I mean, it didn't just happen and now it's over and I go on with life. I wanted to use the story in the way God wanted me to. And I felt he said, now's the time to write the book.
Hey everybody, welcome to Repurpose, the show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taichus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. We believe that true wealth comes from living a life of purpose and having impact on others and leaving a legacy. If you want more information on our firm, just visit taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a very special guest. I'm bringing you part one of a conversation I had with Debbie L. Mayer. If you're from this area, especially West Central Minnesota, you may recognize Debbie and her story. Just let me set the stage here for the first minute or two. Debbie and her husband, Joe, were living in the Twin Cities. They had four kids, and their son, Joey, was 2 days away from getting married. Debbie's three daughters were to be bridesmaids in that wedding. So on New Year's Day 2004, Krista, Nikki, and Jessica were making the trip to Wilmer, West Central Minnesota, about 2 hours west of Minneapolis, where the wedding was to be held to begin the celebration and preparation for their brother's wedding, when they were involved in a head-on collision just a few miles east of Wilmer on Highway 12, and all three girls died. A horrible loss. A parent's worst nightmare to the extreme, to lose a child, one child, let alone all three children, gone just like that, literally hours before their son's wedding. Over a decade later, Debbie has now written a book called After the Crash, Grieving with Hope in Light of Eternity. In this part one of this episode, we talk about the book and the day she lost her daughters and how they managed to have their son's wedding. They went through with the wedding 2 days later. Here's part one of my chat with Debbie Mayer. All right, I've got Debbie Mayer on the phone here today. Debbie, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the podcast here today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Well, actually, a coworker of mine brought you and your story to my attention not too long ago, and this is kind of a special, I guess, maybe special is the right word for it, special time for you. Can you just kind of give us a little background on your story and the book you have coming out?
Well, it'll be 14 years ago on New Year's Day that my three daughters were on the way to be bridesmaids in their brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And they were in a head-on car crash, and all three of them went to be with the Lord. And we actually went on with the wedding.
Yeah, that's crazy. I heard that not too long ago too, and we'll get into that as we chat.
Okay.
Here, but I mean that had to just been an incredible experience. But
oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, 14 years of walking through this. In the early stages, I felt, and people even said, "Boy, you should write a book." And the reason being just because God did so many awesome things and carried us and was so, so present in our suffering. Anyway, so as life went on and I went through many different processes, but kind of came to a place of feeling like life was somewhat normal.
Yeah.
And I just started asking God, what do you want me to do with this story? I mean, it didn't just happen and now it's over and I go on with life. I wanted to use the story in the way God wanted me to. And I felt he said, now's the time to write the book. So I stepped into totally uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Knew nothing about it, so.
Did you just begin writing, or did you talk to a publisher and they give you a little direction, or did you just start writing one night?
I talked to tons of people. Hmm. I talked to authors and publishers and agents and, oh, goodness. But I took the advice of actually Susie Larson, and she had told me, you know, start with writing a book proposal. Anyway, started that and thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be writing this the rest of my life. So I did just start writing, actually. Mm-hmm. And that is how I worked it all out, you know, how I was going to present it, going through all my journals and just sorting through things. And then I got hooked up with another agent, and I went to a writer's conference. And things kind of took off from there. She hooked me up with an editor.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Was it hard to kind of, you know, you're probably reliving a lot of this as you're writing the book. Was that like a therapeutic process for you, or was it just tough?
Both.
Yeah.
You know, I have always enjoyed verbally processing. Yeah. I don't even know if I enjoy it. That's just what I do. And so writing it all out, it helped.
Yeah.
And I felt somehow there was pleasure in it. Mm-hmm. I like being able to describe my emotions and just the visceral side of things.
Yeah.
But it was very hard at the same time. I shed tons of tears.
Sure.
But I laughed even in some parts, and it was good for me because I write a little different than I speak because I'm able to think.
Right.
No, think it out. And so that part, I think, was very good for me.
Hmm. The book is called After the Crash, Grieving with Hope in the Light of Eternity. Let's talk just a little bit about your daughters. What were their names?
Krista, Nikki, and Jessica.
Hmm. And you have a son, obviously, named Joey. How old was he at the time?
Joey was, oh, goodness, 21.
Okay. Wow.
And, yeah. And he was actually going to be married.
Yeah.
In a few days, and there was all this excitement around the wedding. The girls were going to be bridesmaids, and the girls loved Bree. Hmm. They were kind of part of matchmaking, Joey and Bree. They had been in a worship band at school, and anyway, the girls were friends with Bree also and just loved her.
Yeah.
And they were all looking forward to it. I could go on forever, so yeah. I'm going to respond to your question.
Yeah. But you were living in the Twin Cities at the time and driving to West Central Minnesota. Talk about that night, as hard as it may be. Let's talk about that night and what happened back in 2004.
Okay. Well, I had a bunch of out-of-town company, and the girls, we had just had like a New Year's Day brunch, and the girls were taking off to go meet Bree and Wilmer for the bridal shower celebration or the bridal party celebration.
Yep.
And my son was going to be leaving a little bit after that to pick up his best man at the airport. And then he was driving to Wilmer too. And they were going to have like the guy thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the girls left and they were supposed to be there at like 6 o'clock. I think it was 6. And Bree called us at 6:30 and asked if we had heard from them, because they were late, and we said no. Or I'm sorry, I'm getting it mixed up. I should know this, like, in my sleep, because I've written about it. I've talked about it. I think she didn't call till 8 o'clock, wondering if we had heard from them, and said they had called her at 6, saying they were going to be a half an hour late. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she said she had tried calling their cell phones and there was no answer. So, of course, we thought, well, we'll try and, you know, we'll get them. And,
yeah.
Of course, we didn't. And I actually went downstairs because I was drying some of Krista's clothes in our laundry room in the basement. And my husband came and told me Bree called again and said there had been an accident. Hmm. And she heard sirens fly by they were at the Green Mill in Wilmer. Hmm. And she really wanted to ignore them, but yet, you know, her gut was feeling something. And anyway, one of her bridesmaids had called the hospital and found out there had been an accident and three girls had been admitted. So anyway, we were called and told that. And I came into the room while my husband was on the phone. He was trying to track down some information, and he was on the phone with the hospital. And they connected him with the medical examiner. And I don't think that's a normal protocol, but I think since he called, that's how it happened. Yeah. And I walked in the room, and probably 10, 12 feet away from the phone, I heard the words over the receiver, medical examiner. Hmm. And I went ballistic. I slammed my fist on the table. I went, no. And then I heard my husband say all three. Hmm. Anyway, that was a nightmare. That hurt. No. Anyway, a lot happened. For the first hour, all I could say was, what am I going to do? Yeah. What am I going to do? Really, that is all that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And finally, when everybody gathered in our living room to pray, you know, our pastors came and the police chaplain and a few family. And we got in a circle to pray, and my eyes fixed on the picture on my bookshelf, which was all three of them in my wedding dress. They had tried it on earlier because my husband and I were redoing our vows. Yeah. Anyway, I saw that picture, and God spoke to my heart and said, they're my brides now. Mm. And I spoke that out loud, and that was like the first amount of peace that I had that whole night. Mm. And it was like that truth brought me back into reality.
Yeah.
Because it's true. They were very much alive in the presence of God, and they were his brides. And so that became a real theme. That was spoken to the news and to the newspapers, and that sort of became our theme. In fact, earlier that day, my son had given me a picture of that Bree had gotten. She was in the choir at her school, and they traveled around. And this woman, the artist, had given her a picture of a bride and groom, and it was portraying Jesus as the bridegroom and then the bride sort of dancing in his arms. Yeah. And Bree thought I might like that picture, so she gave it to Joey to give to me the very day my girls became brides in heaven.
Wow. And this is 2 days before Joey's wedding, Joey and Bree's wedding?
This is, okay. Yes.
So you went on and had the wedding, I guess. I'm putting myself in the listener's shoes right now. I guess the question going through my head is, how in the world did you go through that?
Yes. Well, I would ask that very same question. In fact, I did months later. I was just like, oh, my gosh, how did I do that?
Yeah.
Well, that night, Joey and Joe and I all, and Bree, all felt like the girls would be totally upset if we did not go on with the wedding. They were so excited about it. And so that was sort of our reasoning. Hmm. You know, we were in shock, of course, and there were kind of three pastors involved, which I think is interesting. And all of them said, let's wait till morning and see. But that was our conclusion, and we felt very strong about it.
Hmm.
And now in retrospect, we all see God's hand in that, because we were surrounded by people that loved us and cared. And those people, our friends and family, needed that. It's like, it's not like we all grieved really even. We did in the foyer. But the minute we went into the sanctuary, it's like there was this, it's time to celebrate, and we, and the pastor in Wilmer there, Pastor Keith Kerstetter, he really set the tone before the wedding and said, you know, the time for grief will be here, you know, very soon. Today, let's make this a celebration that grabs the attention of all of heaven. Mm-hmm. And it, that God showed me so much at that wedding, looking at my son, Joey, just with his anticipation for Bree. It's like I saw Jesus and how he is towards us and how he was as he welcomed my girls and ushered my girls into heaven.
Wow.
And so that became that. It's a story about being the bride of Christ. We didn't write it, you know. It was written in heaven.
Mm-hmm. How has this transpired into a book, and what do you want the readers of your book to understand about their life or faith, or, you know, what do you want to get across with this story?
Well, I'll tell you, I know so much that a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And I have really learned that. And so in this book, I am very honest about the parts of me that suffered and questioned and struggled, and how God came to me in his mercy and his compassion and really showed himself to me. And, you know, I want people to know that God is in our suffering. And that, you know, it's often in those deepest places of hurt and pain that we really find out the nearness of God, because he's promised to be with the brokenhearted and the weak. I mean, and I was brokenhearted and weak, and he really came to me. So my hope really is that people know that God does not expect them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and, you know, I can do this.
Yeah.
He's okay with us questioning, and he's very well acquainted with our suffering and our pain. And he does not, here's the thing that I've really learned in my grief, but even as I've written this book and I've written things out, and towards the end, I've seen God does not waste an ounce of our pain. He is redemptive with everything that we go through. And, you know, before the girls died, my heart was always, I felt our family was going to be in ministry together. Mm. You know, I sang with my kids. We did worship bands. We did mission trips. We, you know, that was just our life. And I thought, we're going to be in ministry together. And, of course, that dream died. Mm. And everything died. You know, a lot of me died when they died.
Yeah.
But as God has come to me, and as I've written this book, I have come to see that we are in ministry together.
Yeah.
And they, just like Abel in Hebrews 11, it says that though Abel is dead, he still speaks. And my girls, though they are dead to this life, the love that God put inside of them and that they lived out, it is continuing to speak. And my son and my husband and I, we're all in this together. My son did the cover for this book. He designed the cover. He's helped a lot with some of the more technical aspects. And, you know, that's redemption.
Yeah.
That is God redeeming it. Hmm. And also I have found that half of the time going through my grief, I was sad for a long time. It's not like it was every minute of every day. There were times when I wasn't, but a lot of the past 14 years, I have lived my life just not feeling too great. Hmm. And, just going by what the Word of God says, because somehow God just was leading me forward. And it's like all of a sudden I am reaping, sowing to the Spirit. I feel more alive than I have ever felt. Mm. And I want people to understand that we don't have to be dictated by our feelings, and not that our feelings are wrong, because they're very real.
Yeah.
And we have to enter them and we have to embrace them. But there is a greater reality, and I really want people to understand what having and living their lives with an eternal perspective is all about.
What advice do you have? I mean, there's lots of people that are going through struggles. You mentioned Susie Larson. We actually had her on the show early on in season one of Repurposed, and she talked about some of her struggles, which was extremely enlightening. What would your experience, since you have obviously so much experience in this, and it's just every parent's nightmare. You're living it, and we just can't imagine. But, you know, people that are kind of stuck in that grief, is there a part of the book or a story that you can pull out of there to say, this is what really helped me walk out of that?
Yes. I talk about that being stuck in my grief, because what happens a lot with grief, or really with any phase we go through, we can become so comfortable with that, even though it's not fun and it's painful, but it's what we become comfortable with. And we can get stuck there. And for me, after my girls, I encountered more loss, and I just started to focus more on my loss, feeling that was what I was destined for the rest of my life, just lies. And but God really showed me, well, actually, my big lie was I'm a big loser. That was my lie. Hmm. And he showed me in Isaiah where it says, I have carried you from your birth, and I will, you know, till your old age. I've carried you then, and I will carry you now, and I will carry you in the future. And I kind of compared it to in my early walk with the Lord, reading about Isaiah. You know, when he saw God high and lifted up, it says in Isaiah 6, it says that he said, here I am, God, send me. Well, that's not really where it started. It started when King Uzziah died. And King Uzziah wasn't just the king. He was Isaiah's cousin. Isaiah was a court prophet. And I mean, that in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is like a huge part of his life. And King Uzziah dies, and Isaiah is like brokenhearted and probably questioning, like, now what? Hmm. Now what's going to happen? And God shows himself to Isaiah, you know, even though the king had died, God showed himself as the king to Isaiah, high and lifted up on the throne. And then Isaiah sees himself and he goes, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But it wasn't until he came to that place that he was able to say, you know, here I am, send me. And I feel that in my grief, God has shown me what I'm made of. I knew what I was made of a lot, but I really found out even more.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, God really, he's been so gracious and spoken so much to me. And even in spite of all that, I would doubt his goodness and doubt his love for me, and yet he just continued to show me himself. And so there I've come to a place in myself where I've said, wow, woe is me, you know. And yet, because of that, because of seeing what I'm made of, I feel God then can come and be strong in my weakness and make himself known and thrust me into a ministry of being broken bread and poured out wine for other grievers.
Yeah.
And not even necessarily people that have lost children, because there's tons of crashes in life.
Yeah. Well, I'm so thankful for Debbie Mayer and her strength and willingness to share her story, with me and through her book on this podcast, but also trying to help other people who have dealt with grief. That was part one. We're going to bring you part two with Debbie Mayer coming up next week, where we talk more about purpose and how to use our stories to impact others. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. And as usual, a huge thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We will see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.